Every country in the world has witches. And there is a leader, a high witch of each country. And the ruler of all the witches is the most evil woman in creation, the Grand High Witch.
A terrifying group of evil witches want to rid the world of children, and it's up to one young boy who's been turned into a mouse to stop them. This week, we chat about an odd treatment for diabetes, how Roald Dahl was inspired by the 1986 Mets, and Hamstertopia. What's Hamstertopia? You'll find out as we see if 1990's The Witches stands the test of time.
Time, James and Alan have their say. Do the movies you love still hold up today? James says Gladiator with a glutton. Alan says as a father, blah blah. It's the test of time. James and Alan have their say. Do the movies you love still hold up today? Test of time. James and Alan have their say. Do the movies you love still hold up today?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Test of Time podcast. I'm your host, James Brief, and joining me, as always, is my buddy, my podcast partner, the director of this show, Alan Noah.
Well, thank you, and also the host, but I like all those other titles, too, so I'll take all of them. How you doing there, James?
I'm doing well. You know, we're getting to October. It's Halloween and the pandemic. I'm just wondering, what is it like for kids in the pandemic and Halloween? Are they looking forward to it? Because this is, you know, this is candy day.
Yeah, I'm still not exactly sure what we're going to do for trick-or-treating. The town that I live in usually has like a whole thing, like a parade, and you can go over to the businesses and the businesses hand out candy. That's canceled. I think some houses are going to like leave candy out front, but then do you want to like stick your hand in and grab some candy that every other kid is sticking their hand in and getting? Like, yeah, it's individually wrapped, but I don't know. Like, maybe we'll just like buy some chocolate and let the kids pick out. I don't know. I saw one thing where they're saying that you should like do trick-or-treat sticks. So like you tape candy bars to sticks on your yard and like you space them out so that way everyone just picks up one stick and it's not like a communal bowl of candy bars. That seems like a okay idea, but also seems like a lot of work.
It still has to be wiped down and all this stuff. Yeah, I don't know what you're going to do, but do you know what the producers of Roald Dahl novel adaptations did for this year's pandemic?
Well, I do. There's a new movie based on the Roald Dahl book, The Witches. It was supposed to come out in early October of 2020. They pushed it back a couple of times because of the pandemic. Then it was going to be released in October 2021. And then they kind of did a surprise move up back to October 2020, but not in theaters. They're going to release it directly to HBO Max. Honestly, that's fine. I wasn't dying to go and see the new version with Anne Hathaway and Octavia Spencer. I mean, those are great actresses. I like Chris Rock. He's going to be like the narrator of the boy in it. Like, cool. I have HBO Max. Maybe we'll watch it. It's funny in that while all of these movies were being postponed this year, people were like, what's going to happen to Tenet? What's going to happen to Mulan? What's going to happen to No Time to Die? What's going to happen to the Marvel movies? I don't think a lot of people were wondering, what's going to happen with the Witches remake?
Yeah, I agree. If you're not familiar with Roald Dahl, he was a British novelist, and he's responsible for some of the most beloved children's novels of all time, and many of them have been made into films. There's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, there's Matilda, James and the Giant Peach, The Fantastic Mr. Fox, the BFG. So I actually had never seen this film, but when I had heard and I saw in the credits that this is based on a Roald Dahl novel, it instantly gave it more credibility.
Have you read any of the Roald Dahl books?
I did read James and the Giant Peach. That's the only one I read.
I wonder why. Because you love giant peaches is what I'm getting at.
No, actually, we read it in class in like fifth grade or something, but I did like it.
Yeah, I read that one as a kid. I've read a lot of the books to the kids, and I had actually been reading The Witches to my daughter even before I knew that this movie was coming out. So we were a little bit ahead of the game because I've read the book recently. Mostly, I should put an asterisk on that, a couple of chapters Courtney read. But I read, I'd say, about 80% of this book recently.
And, you know, I have to say that there's genres of horror that I'm into. I like zombies. I like certain things. I'm not that into vampire films. And I'll say that I'm generally not into witches. I never watched Charmed. I had never seen Hocus Pocus until, like, a couple of years ago. I've never seen The Witches of Eastwick with Jack Nicholson. So I wasn't sure what to expect when I first turned on this film on Netflix.
Well, I look forward to hearing your thoughts. We'll give a brief synopsis of the movie plot, as we usually do at this point in the episode. The movie's about a boy named Luke who lives with his grandmother after his parents die. The grandmother tells Luke about witches who disguise themselves as women but are actually evil creatures that kill children. When Luke and his grandmother go to a hotel for a relaxing vacation, they end up coming face to face with every witch in England and their leader, the Grand High Witch. She is a magic formula that turns kids into mice, and when Luke is discovered spying on them, he's turned into a rodent. But Luke and his grandmother hatch a plan to get revenge on the witches by turning them into mice with their own formula.
So this movie came out in 1990, and I might think of this as a Halloween kind of film, but it was actually released on August 24th, 1990, and perhaps not surprisingly, the film did not catch any Halloween fever. It came in at number 10 with $2 million.
Oof.
Eventually, it made $10 million, so that's actually a pretty decent multiplier. Coming at number one that weekend was a film, I don't know if you've ever seen this film, it's a Liam Neeson film directed by Sam Raimi.
Darkman?
That's correct.
I have seen that one, yeah.
We'll review that film. But The Witches did beat the movie that came in at number 11, Delta Force 2, : The Columbia Connection. So let it be known that this film beat Chuck Norris.
I feel like we should turn that into a Chuck Norris meme of some kind.
It did beat the small opening of another film that I'm sure we're going to review at some point, Pump Up the Volume.
Oh, yeah. Christian Slater, right?
Christian Slater. I think this is the kind of film that was your like early 90s heartthrob poster for like, you know, the teenage girls.
Yeah. I remember that. So this movie starts with the grandma talking to the little boy, Luke. The boy looked kind of familiar. He was Kevin in Parenthood. He was in Hook as well, one of the Lost Boys, I believe. But yeah, he's getting a whole lesson from his grandma about witches and what witches do. And basically what they do is abduct and murder children.
This is not a Hocus Pocus kind of film. And if you remember Roald Dahl, a lot of his films are adapted to be a lot more G-rated than the actual novels are. I mean, there's a reason that Tim Burton, you know, did a remake of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Whatever you thought about that remake, he did make Willy Wonka totally nuts, you know, not just like an eccentric weirdo. Roald Dahl was kind of a dark guy, and he lived through World War II, and apparently that had a lot of influence on his characters. So we hear Grandma's explanations about witches, and there's this tale about this one girl in particular that she knew as a child that disappeared, and she was never seen from again. But there was this one time that she saw a painting, and she could have sworn she saw the little girl in the painting, but never in the same place at any one time.
The reason that the grandma is telling Luke all of these stories about witches is knowing the facts about witches will help you. It could save your life someday if you know how to spot a witch. And she talks about all of the characteristics that they are bald and they wear wigs and they have purple eyes and they have long claws on their fingers, so they wear gloves and they don't have toes, their feet are squared off. And like, okay, I guess it makes sense, like know your enemy kind of a thing. But she specifically says, if only Erica had known about witches, maybe she would have been saved. But then we see how Erica is kidnapped. She's literally just like abducted in an alley. Like knowing what witches look like would not have helped this little girl, Erica. She still would have ended up in that painting.
Oh, yeah. We see a scene later where Luke is playing in his treehouse and a witch tries to abduct him. And he does escape abduction by recognizing that this might be a witch. But it also was just straight out of, you know, childhood, don't talk to strangers offering you toys and gifts, you know.
Yes, that is very, very true. Yeah, and early in the movie, the parents die. It seems like they go out for like a date night and they're in a car accident, which is awful. Luke goes to live with his grandmother, and then the grandmother like faints one day, and it turns out that she has diabetes. And the doctor tells her that she should take a vacation. I was like, wait, is that like a treatment for diabetes? Go on vacation? Spend some time by the sea? I mean, you're a doctor. Is that a real thing?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I would say rest. I mean, some people say rest. Oh, I'm going to take a vacation. You take precautions. No more sweets, Grandma. And then, you know, she could do what she wants. And diabetes is not a, you know, it's not a debilitating condition that you can't do stuff. So, you know, if she does what she's told by her doctor, she could go travel.
Yeah, yeah. It just seemed like a weird plot point of like, that's what sends them on vacation. But they do need to end up at this hotel because that's where most of the rest of the movie will take place. But while they're at this hotel, they see that there's a big meeting there. It's the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children. And immediately, we as the audience are suspicious of all of these women who show up. Their leader is played by Angelica Houston, who I know best from the Addams Family movies.
Oh, when I saw this character, I was kind of thinking, wow, they're really going for an Angelica Houston ripoff here. I totally missed that Angelica Houston was in the film. So it took me a moment to realize, oh, okay, that's Angelica Houston. And maybe this film is what got her noticed to play. Morticia, that's her name? Morticia Addams?
I think so.
Mrs. Addams.
Yeah, there you go. And the grandma seems to recognize the head witch. She doesn't know she's a witch yet. But she's like, she looks familiar. And the grandma had also told Luke that she had an encounter with a witch, and that's why she's missing part of her finger. So she had an encounter with a witch when she was a little girl, and then we later find out that it was the Grand High Witch that she had dealt with.
Oh, yeah, and we saw that Grandma lost her pinky. I mean, this is like some Yakuza shit here. Like, they cut off the fingers of kids in this universe.
Yeah, they don't really explain how she lost her finger. There could be an interesting story there, you know? Like, if the witches can kill kids and turn them into animals and send them to live into paintings, like, what were they doing where it ended up where she lived and survived to old age, but she just lost a finger? I'd be curious about that story.
I would definitely find it to be a mistake if they don't address that in the remake, because I think it's much cheaper today with CGI to recreate wherever she's from and make a flashback. I think just these things cost a lot less now, and it would definitely be a good scene to film, because this whole film takes place really only in two settings.
Yeah, that is true. In the book, they don't tell you how the grandma lost her finger. I read that the new version of the movie is supposed to be closer to the book than this version. So I don't know. But you're right. I mean, that would be some interesting backstory to get.
Or even if you don't film it, then just say something like, I escaped, but I had to cut off my finger or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Also working at this hotel is Rowan Atkinson, a.k.a. Mr. Bean, although Mr. Bean premiered in 1990, the same year as this movie. So when this movie came out, he wasn't well known as Mr. Bean.
Rowan Atkinson pops up in a lot of films like this, you know, from the 90s, where he has speaking roles, and it's nice to see him. It gets a little more legitimacy to the film as well.
Whenever I see him, I always think of his role in Love Actually, which is another movie we'll definitely have to do on the podcast one Christmas. But he's so funny in that movie.
I haven't seen that film. Oh no, Love Actually. That's the one with Andrew Lincoln, right?
Yes.
It's okay. I've seen that one, the Christmas film.
Yes.
Okay, I saw it once. I just remember it's one of those like eight stories in one kind of thing.
Yes. So while they're at this hotel, Luke has these pet mice. The grandma bought him these mice like after his parents died as like a, hey, sorry your parents died. Here's some pet mice, which, okay. But he really likes them and he brings them with him to this hotel and Rowan Atkinson as the hotel manager is like, you shouldn't have mice here. But the grandma kind of talks back to him and says, you're going to let us have the mice.
She threatens him. She's like, you are going to let me have these mice in the hotel or I'm going to call the health inspector and tell them about all these things I found. And then Rowan Atkinson's like, okay, fine.
Right. And then Luke is playing with his pet mice in the hotel ballroom, just having a good time with them. When all of these women come in, can you hear that cricket?
Oh, yeah.
If you're hearing that sound, listeners, I'm sorry. I tried to find it before. But anyway, so while Luke is playing with his mice, all of these women come into the ballroom and lock the door and they take off their wigs and they take off their shoes and their gloves and it's the witches. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and we've gone over this many times. When you have a film from the late 80s and early 90s, it's really at that dawn of CGI. So there's still a lot of films that don't do CGI. They're doing more practical effects. And not surprisingly for 1990, the Jim Henson Company was involved with this film. Mm-hmm. And Jim Henson, of course, famous for The Muppets and Sesame Street and even Star Wars. And like they were the people for puppet kind of features. And we reviewed the film Labyrinth. That was a total Jim Henson production. So it was all practical effects when she's taking off her face. So I will give it credit that had it been CGI, oh God, would this have been terrible.
Right. And when Angelica Houston does take off her face and reveals herself to be the hideous creature that is the Grand High Witch, it does look Jim Henson-esque. It looks like something from Labyrinth or The Dark Crystal, and it's freaky. I mean, it is a freaky thing, and I watched this movie with my daughter, and I was a little bit worried that she was going to be freaked out by this, but she wasn't even a little bit. She's like, it's kind of creepy, but meh. It didn't do much to scare her, which is good. Then the Grand High Witch kind of just goes into her plot, and she thinks that the witches of England are not doing a good enough job at killing children. She wants all of the children in England killed, and quickly. And you're like, okay, I mean, they're evil, I guess. So her plan is to have all of these witches open up candy stores, and then they're going to put this magic formula, Formula 86, into the chocolate, and when a child eats this chocolate and has some of this formula, they will turn into a mouse. And ordinarily, if you have one drop of this formula, it will take you 24 hours to turn into a mouse. So it won't happen like while the kids are in the stores. It'll happen later. They won't be able to trace it back to the stores. I mean, it's a pretty ingenious plan.
Yeah, it's pretty brilliant. I mean, put it in something that all the kids will want. And it's kind of similar to his Willy Wonka distribution strategy, you know. Well, I guess in Willy Wonka, the children and adults are all going for it. But it's a pretty diabolical plan. And we had met this debonair British boy, Bruno Jenkins, and he's a very posh boy and likes his cucumber sandwiches and, you know, at tea time, and a little bit obnoxious, but, you know, kind of harmless. And he comes into the middle of this witches meeting and he's like, I was promised a treat. And the head witch uses Bruno to demonstrate her powers and she turns him into a mouse.
Right. And it happens in front of everyone, and all of the witches are cackling with delight. They get to see it happen, and they're so thrilled.
Well, except for one thing. There is one witch who doubts her a little bit. And she's like, well, we can't possibly use this to kill all the children in England. And when you doubt the head bad guy, you know, you're going to get killed. So she zaps this witch and the witch just kind of poofs in fire.
It's almost sort of like the Emperor Lightning kind of thing, you know, that she just like fries this other witch and basically just turns her into a pile of dust. But, you know, the meeting's over. All the witches are going to leave. They're going to go back up to the Grand High Witch's room later to get the Formula 86. But then one witch seems to smell something. And the grandmother had said that to witches, children smell like dog's droppings, which is the phrase that they use in the book. Not dog poop, but dog's droppings. And the warning was, don't bathe, because if you're covered in dirt, the dirt covers up the smell. And Luke never bathed, so he didn't smell, and the witches didn't notice him at first. But then, just as they're all about to leave, one witch notices something, and Luke is discovered. He's able to escape, and he runs outside, and he maybe could get away from them, but then the Grand High Witch pushes a baby in a stroller, like down a cliff, and Luke reveals himself to save this baby.
It's the kind of scene that I could even see in a book being exciting, and I could see in the remake being done very well, but this was not a very exciting or dramatic rolling of a baby down a hill in a baby carriage.
I will say, though, actually in the book, the chase, quote unquote, of Luke, Luke never leaves the ballroom. They spot him in there. He runs around the ballroom a little bit, and then they capture him pretty quickly. It's at least a little bit more thrilling in this movie that he escapes the ballroom and the chase kind of goes on for a little bit. In the book, right after he's discovered, they pretty much just throw the formula down his throat.
Yeah, that's true. And so he's going to turn into a mouse. And similar to the way Bruno did, they blow this green smoke out of their faces. And it's done with a lot of practical effects. And so Luke becomes a mouse, but he escapes and he finds the Bruno mouse. And the two of them team up because they find that they can communicate to each other, not in mouse speak, but they can communicate in English words.
Right. Which, when you think about it, seems like a pretty big flaw with the witch's Formula 86 plan. Because when a kid is turned into a mouse, they might be able to go and talk to their parents, authorities, somebody, and say something. Like, the witches seem to think that the mice will be killed instantly by cats or exterminators or whoever, which is possible. But you know, leaving them with their voice, it does seem like a pretty big flaw in the plan.
Yeah, all it takes is like probably one. I guess they can chalk that up to being some freak accident. But when there's going to be like four or five mice that speak English and have all the memories of a local missing child, when also every child in England seems to have been missing, I think they're going to be found out.
Yeah, yeah. There's a problem with the witch's plan.
They'll work it out with Formula 87.
I would hope so.
I think Roald Dahl was probably just, he knew what was going to happen to Mookie Wilson, Dwight Gooden, Daryl Strawberry in the 86 Mets. And he just wanted to honor those guys. Gary Carter, you know, he's got to name it after the New York Metropolitans.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Let's go with that. Why not? So Luke and Bruno, as mice, they find Luke's grandma, and very quickly they come up with a plan to steal some of the Formula 86 from the Grand High Witch's room, and then they will use that to turn all of the witches into mice, like kind of turn the tables on them. So as it happens, Luke and his grandma are staying in the room above the Grand High Witch. So the grandma kind of lowers Luke down in a sock onto her balcony. He goes into the room. He finds the secret stash of Formula 86 bottles. The bottles are tiny because it only takes one drop to turn a kid into a mouse.
Right, and they already established that each bottle had enough to turn 500 kids into mice. And if you have a drop or so, that will work in 2 hours. But if you have more than five drops, it works instantly. So if you do the math, it's enough to turn 100 people into mice after a few seconds.
Right. So Luke finds this secret stash of formula. He's able to carry it out of the room with his tail. The Grand High Witch comes back before Luke's able to escape back into the grandma's sock. The witch sees the sock and sees the grandma, and they exchange looks, and they know who the other one is, but neither one says it. But meanwhile, Luke is able to just escape through the door, holding on to the formula with his tail. He runs back upstairs, and then they go into the dining room so that he can put this formula into the soup. This part of the plan is pretty convenient, that all of the members of this Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children are having one soup that's being specially prepared just for them, and no other hotel guests are allowed to have this very special soup.
Yeah, I was thinking that there could have been a very easy way to establish why they would have this exclusive soup. I mean, you think of vampires that can't have any garlic, so, you know, some kind of allergy, some kind of anything, and say it's a very special soup. They could have made some kind of reason for it, because there winds up being a plot point where Bruno's dad wants to order this soup. And it is weird, like, why can't I have any from that big pot of soup?
I mean, doesn't make sense. I mean, that's just not the way these things work. I mean, I've never worked in a hotel, but like, you don't have just like one specific set of soup that you only make just enough soup portions for only these 200 ladies, and there's not any left for any other customer. Like, that's just not like practical. That's a stupid way of doing things.
Yeah, I think it's something I could easily work a couple lines in to explain it, but they didn't here. But they do manage to spike the soup, and they manage to get the whole bottle into the soup, so the whole thing is contaminated.
And he doesn't just pour the contents of the bottle into the soup. Like, the bottle itself goes into the soup, which also, you know, presumably a chef might find it and be like, huh, that's weird. Maybe I shouldn't serve this soup.
There is the possibility that the chef saw it and said, fuck, I had this like one special dish, has to be made for all 40 of these people, and fuck it. So there's a little, you know, spice dish on the bottom of this. Who cares? Adds to the flavor, whatever. I'm not recooking this.
That's fair. There is one witch that works in the kitchen, and she like takes a little taste of the soup, and then she turns into a mouse, and she's trying to like run out to warn her fellow witches, but she's turned into a mouse too quickly, so it doesn't work. While Luke is trying to escape from the kitchen, he is seen by one of the chefs, and he loses a bit of his tail. The chef kind of like whacks at him with a butcher's knife. He ends up losing like a decent chunk of his tail. He's bleeding, and you figure that's really got to hurt.
Oh, and they put blood on it and everything. You could have done the exact same scene and it was a clean break, and people would have thought, oh, okay, I guess tails don't bleed. It just kind of falls off. But they go the full Monty.
I don't think that's what the full Monty means.
Oh, they do that later, though. We'll talk about that.
Sure. But for now, the witches are all served the soup, and they start turning into mice. Bruno's father was served the soup reluctantly, but the grandma is able to run over, knock it out of his hand. He doesn't have the soup. She was trying to tell them earlier that, by the way, your son was turned into a mouse, and they didn't believe him. But now, finally, they do believe her, especially because Bruno talks to them and says, hi, Mom. Well, you always did want me to lose weight, because he's kind of a chubby boy and he lost a lot of weight. Get it? Because he's a mouse.
I mean, it's a fat joke. That's what it is.
Yeah. But all of the witches are turning into mice. There's a million mice running around in this presumably nice hotel. So all of the hotel workers start killing the mice, which kind of makes sense, but also kind of doesn't make sense, because didn't they see these women turn into the mice? Like, there are huge long tables that were filled with women, and all of the women are gone. Now there's mice. It seems like someone might think of like, maybe we shouldn't kill these mice. Maybe we should trap them or something.
And also, aren't these English-speaking mice? Because we've established that you still can speak English after you turn to a mouse.
This is very true. But that's not what happens. The grandma is able to trap the Grand High Witch which is an extra nasty looking mouse. And she puts her in a, I guess like a vase or something upside down. So she can't go anywhere.
Yeah. It's got the whole like Beauty and the Beast, the rose captured in the glass urn kind of thing.
Right. She tells Rowan Atkinson, the hotel manager, oh, look, there's a real nasty one there. And you see him walk over to it with the butcher's knife and whack. That's the end of the Grand High Witch.
Yeah. Mr. Bean chopped the Grand High Witch in half. Good for him.
Good for him indeed. And then the grandma's very keen to just leave the hotel right away and go home. And the grandma has a plan where she wants to go after all of the other witches now, because they killed all of England's witches, but there's still witches in other countries. And they get a trunk that arrives in the mail.
A Louis Vuitton trunk.
Ooh, fancy trunk.
Yes. One thing I liked a lot was the entire home was converted into like this mousetopia full of tubes, and it looked like a really fun place to live as a mouse. And I actually thought they did a really fun job with that set. There were all little elevators for him, and it was a cute little thing. I actually thought he might have enjoyed his life as a mouse.
I like that you called it a mousetopia.
Well, I used to own hamsters. Don't you remember when I converted that aquarium into Hamstertopia?
No. You had a Hamstertopia?
Yeah, I had Hamstertopia. It was full of tubes and slides and stairs and ramps. Oh, it was fantastic. If you were going to be a hamster, you want to live in Hamstertopia.
Sure. Sounds great. If you have any pictures of that, send them to me, and I will definitely post them on our Instagram at Test of Time Pod. I think our fans want to see Hamstertopia.
I'm pretty sure I have some, but I'll look.
Okay. All right. Please do.
And they open the LV trunk, and it's full of British pounds, like probably millions of pounds in cash. They also come across an address book in there, and it contains the addresses of all of the witches in America. She flips through it, and they even come to a page that says New York. I did freeze frame it. They're listed in Scarsdale and Syosset, and these are all real places around New York City. So that's where the action's leading, and it kind of opens, presumably not necessarily for a movie sequel, but just kind of, let's go off to that other adventure. You know, ride off into the sunset to presumably rid America of their witches.
Right. And this trunk that was full of the pounds and the little black book was from the Grand High Witch's room. The grandma had it arranged to be sent over there. And Luke is ready to go. He's ready to go to America and take on these witches. He goes to sleep one night, and then a good witch shows up. This character we'd seen like maybe two or three times before this in the movie. She's a blonde woman slash witch, and she's basically like the Grand High Witch's assistant. And the last time we saw her, the Grand High Witch told her that she couldn't have dinner with them. She was like not good enough or something. She's an assistant and she's working at the dinner, so she's not allowed to eat at the dinner. So she kind of sulks off. So then we know that she doesn't have any of the soup, right? And I guess being kind of dismissed by her boss now makes her good, because she like uses her magic powers to turn Luke from a mouse back into a boy. And Luke is like sleeping in his little firehouse Lego set, and he grows back to his normal self, and he's naked. There's the Full Monty reference that you were making. Weirdly, he's not like missing any part of his body, even though the tail was cut off. But I guess humans don't have tails, so maybe that does make sense.
Yeah, or maybe he's missing like part of the tailbone or something.
Oh.
You know, strangely, yes, he is naked, but they do, for some strange reason, show a groin shot. It's like very, you know, it's very bright, so you can't see anything. But why did they include that shot? Like, you could have just showed, you know, his arms, and you could have shown the top of his chest or something. It's obvious the kid's naked, but it was a very weird shot.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, they totally have like a full body shot as the kid is like growing from mouse into boy. It was just an odd shot that they could have avoided entirely. So I thought that was odd. But, you know, it's your Pinocchio Beauty and the Beast moment. And he leans out the window, says thank you to the witch and says, don't forget about Bruno. And maybe she rescues Bruno, maybe she doesn't. And I guess presumably Luke and his grandma go to America and maybe save America from the witches.
Right. And this ending infuriated Roald Dahl. So in the book, the boy does not turn back into a person. There is no good witch. This character is made up purely for the movie. And in the book, they don't really talk about going to America specifically, but they talk about ridding the world of more witches, and they're going to find the lists of other witches, and they'll kill the Grand High Witch's successor and all of her assistants, and they will move throughout the world, you know, eliminating witches. And it's actually pretty sad and morbid. At one point, the little boy in the book says to his grandma, how long do mice live? And the grandma says, I was wondering if you were going to ask that, about 9 years. And the boy says, well, that's okay, because you're old and I wouldn't want to outlive you anyway. So we'll both die together. And the boy and the grandma are like, agreed, we will only be on this earth together for a short period of time. And in that time, we will kill as many witches as we possibly can. It's a very, like, dark ending for a kid's tale. I mean, yes, you know, the Grimm's fairy tales are all pretty dark too, but it's definitely a disturbing ending. But in real life, Roald Dahl was furious because the movie changed his book's ending, and he was going to take his name off of it and go on like this campaign discrediting the movie, and he only didn't do it because Jim Henson begged him not to.
Yeah, and I actually read that they filmed both endings, and he absolutely loved the other ending, the one that's faithful to his book. Mm-hmm. And this is obviously the more, I guess you could call it the Hollywood ending.
Yeah, yeah. And sadly, Roald Dahl died shortly after this movie came out. It was also the last movie that Jim Henson ever worked on. They both died in 1990. I don't think it was related to this movie, but you can't prove that it wasn't.
It's possible.
Right?
So we've come to the end of this film. Al, do you think this film stands the test of time?
Not really. No, I don't. And, you know, your point about the special effects looking okay, I agree with you. You know, the practical effects look fine. The green smoke during the transformation is a little hokey, yeah, but it doesn't look terrible. You just don't see that much. And the effects of the animatronic mice as they're talking and running around, you know, it's fine. But really, my problem with the movie is that it's a really thin plot. And to be fair, that is also the case in the book. The plot in the book is similarly thin. There's just a whole lot of exposition about what witches are. Then they get to the hotel and meet the witches. The boys turn into mice. Then the witches are turned into mice. The end. I also recently read to my daughter Fantastic Mr. Fox. That's also a pretty thin plot in the book. But in the movie, Wes Anderson just puts a lot more stuff into it. So it just makes it a little bit more interesting. This movie, there's really not a lot of there. And when they're talking about how this new version, the 2020 version, is going to be more faithful to the Roald Dahl book, I'm like, that's not exactly a selling point. Like, they should embellish it more. They should add more to it. I assume that the new movie will have the sad ending of the boy is still a mouse. But beyond that, I mean, I would hope that they add more stuff to it. There's also just things in the plot that don't make sense. Why do the witches hate children? If they only hate children, at what age do they stop hating them? Is it 18? Is it puberty? We don't know. Also, how is it that this formula works on witches? It's implied in the movie and expressly stated in the book that the witches aren't human. They look like women, but they're not. They're demons. They are creatures. So if the formula works on kids turning them into mice, why would it also work on the witch biology? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And also, you would think that the witches would have put in some kind of fail-safe precaution so that this exact thing couldn't happen. There's just like some logic loopholes that if you stop to think about them, you're like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. So I do not think this movie stands the test of time. I'm mildly curious to see what changes they make for the 2020 version. But overall, this movie is just kind of, it just kind of fell flat for me. What do you think, James?
You know, I think you really nailed it. That phrase, there's not much there. I was wondering about this film. Am I not really into this because I'm just not into witch films? But I was thinking, no, if it's good, I'll like it. The characters are just not that interesting. I like the grandma. I do. Angelica Houston she's a good actress. Rowan Atkinson is a funny hotel manager. Why you little, you know, he's a Mr. Wilson to the sort of Dennis the Menace thing. But I'll just say it's just not very fun. The special effects, I'm actually not going to be as generous. This is actually a film that could stand a remake because I think you could do a very decent job with making it kind of fun and the special effects more interesting. The remake, when they say more faithful to the original novel, I think what they're telling you is it's going to be the ending of the original novel. That being said, I think it's going to be a very open-ended original, and now you can have the adventures of that boy in America. You can even make that mouse an animated tale or CGI animated, whatever, and have all kinds of adventures of his, you know, on Disney Plus or something.
It would be on HBO Max, but that's right. Not a bad idea.
Right. I mean, you could start a franchise with an established IP. It's Roald Dahl. So, you know, I'd never heard of this film. If they just go and say, Roald Dahl's The Witch, I probably wouldn't watch it. But if I see Roald Dahl's something, I turn around. Like a few years ago, did you see the BFG?
I did. That also, in that book, there's not a lot of plot there either. And I was kind of bored by the movie as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was sold to me only because of Steven Spielberg and Roald Dahl. So you figure, oh, this is big, but
it's big. Get it? The BFG?
That's true. You know, the BFG is the name of the gun in the Doom series. It stands for the big fucking gun.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and I actually will say that I think the remake really stands a shot at being significantly better than this film. It doesn't have to be much longer, I'll tell you that. This film does not need to be 2 hours. You can make it 10 minutes longer. It's fine. But, you know, an hour and 40 minutes as opposed to an hour and 30 minutes for this film would be perfectly fine. I think it has potential, you know, flesh out a couple things. I think the ending could work. If you don't make it, like, super dark, at least make it, you know, maybe leave off that line about how many years does a mouse live. But or maybe at least they're gonna go, once they kill the final witch, then you'll turn back into a boy, you know, something like that. But this film, 1990s The Witches, I don't think it stands the test of time.
All right, so that's bad news for the 1990 version of The Witches. Hopefully the 2020 version will be better. But that's going to do it for us this week. Next week, we're going to do another Halloween-related movie, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I wanted to do that as our Halloween episode, and then The Witches came up, and I was like, okay, sure, we can talk about The Witches because there's a remake and everything. But I'm still itching to watch Killer Clowns from Outer Space, so we're going to watch that one for next week. Have you ever seen that one, James?
No, I've never seen it. I've heard of it, but I've never had a podcast that would make me watch a film like this. So I'm assuming it's not the kind of film I have to take 100% seriously. So let's see what happens.
I think that's a safe bet.
Am I correct? Is it Killer Clowns, Clowns with a K?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so, you don't have to take it too seriously. Let's see if it holds up. And I hope you guys join us next week.
You don't want to miss that episode. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher. We'll see you next time. And I'm going to go kill this damn cricket.
Unless it was a cricket that used to be a boy that was turned into a cricket by an evil witch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I won't kill the cricket. Damn it. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye, cricket.